Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Have you seen anything like that?
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Now, folks, you're welcome along. It's Golf Weekly. Very happy to say that Nathan Murphy is with us. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
And Fionn Davenport, hello to you.
Hey, Joe.
I'm upset today, Nathan, because Peter Laurie has put his family before Golf Weekly. I'm not sure how we feel about this. Apparently, your child's communion is a big deal now. When did that start?
I assumed Peter wasn't here because it was Spanish Open week and he'd been flown over VIP private jet to the scene of his greatest triumph to meet all this year's competitors, sort of like the way Jack would be there, side of the green on 18 at Valderrama. There's Peter Laurie waiting to greet the winner and tell them, this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. So life goes to shit after this.
It'd be hard to think of someone who could bring the mood down more quickly if you'd just won a tournament.
Yeah. You know?
I know you've won, but it didn't make me happy, so...
Have we got the story of what, like, the 6 hours after winning the Spanish Open? I assume it was the flight was already booked from Thursday morning and a bogey on the third.
Yeah. Hello, I'm still going to change my flight from Friday.
Yeah, I won. I did win $500,000, but it cost me £800 to change my flights, which was really a disaster.
Disaster. My caddy wants a percentage. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So Peter's back next week. A few things going on in the world. Fionn, I suppose it's the start of the new season, which is strange to say on the PGA Tour, but the wraparound season. So very much Las Vegas at the moment. I was reading various players, because it's Las Vegas last week and this week, they've all pitched up at Butch Harmon's house just to hang out with him, to get a few tips from him. He's sorting out DJ's double cross. He's trying to get Ricky Fowler's confidence back. So that's what's been going on over on the PGA Tour. Did the Shriners do it for you? What are our big talking points from the Shriners, Fionn?
Oh, I mean, short answer, no. Long answer, yeah, there was some nice things. Good win for Sung Jae-im. On Saturday, it looked like it could have turned, even though it was a birdie fest with, you know, like ridiculously under par. The win course in Las Vegas, Steve Wynn's beautiful course, but clearly not that difficult, or certainly wasn't set up that difficult. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the only course in downtown Las Vegas. You don't realize that it's actually in the middle. It's like just off the strip. You know, it's not, you know, so you finish your day's play and you're into the casino like 15 minutes later. Sung Jae-im won. Seamus Power had a great run on the Saturday and then just fell away on Sunday. But for me, if I had to pick the kind of the one story that really gave me pleasure was Matthew Wolff marking his return to form after what's been a fairly torrid year for him due to his own struggles. And so coincidentally, he lost in a playoff at this event last year and then went on a run of falling away from, didn't finish in the top 10 for the next 18 tournaments in a row. And you know, and he was very open and talked about his own struggles, purpose and meaning and what's it all about and struggle to adjust. And, you know, for a young man with a very, very promising future, that was great. I was just he's a likable guy. I love his swing. I love that idiosyncratic swing of his. More, please, more swings like this, because doesn't it kind of convince all those hackers that, like, yeah, you know, it takes all sorts. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
My quirks are just fine.
Yeah, my quirks are just fine. I don't have to iron them out at all. Yeah, so now for a guy who's said, as I see, that he hasn't been having fun playing golf, that it hasn't been fun for him, and we know that the word fun is doing an awful lot of heavy lifting here. It was brilliant to see him in the top 10. And yeah, so just for me, that was it. I think probably there's a bit of post Ryder Cup exhaustion. It's hard, you know. And the Shrine and the TV audience reflected as much. So, yeah.
Sorry, Nathan.
No, sorry. You go on about, you've never been to, I'm going to say, Las Vegas.
I was just curious. You know, I feel like that window is closed. I think you want to go there, young, free, single, ready to, you know, go where the night takes you, kind of a thing.
I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago. And it's my, I don't know, whatever, been a bunch of times for work and other things. And I don't gamble. I don't drink. And, you know, I don't frequent late night clubs. And so, and yet I've always enjoyed Vegas for its otherworldly bizarreness.
So you don't find it grim and sad and tacky?
Oh, but it is. It's Vegas is like a course of antibiotics. After a few days, if you're still not right, you need to consult your doctor, because like you can't do more than a few days in Vegas. The thing about it, like, if you're going to play the tables, fine. If you're going to go out on a bender, amazing. It's a great city that absolutely encourages that kind of carry on. And it's not even a high roller city. So the strip is more your high roller. So whatever it is, minimum $5 minimums at most tables on the strip. But if you go to downtown Vegas to the kind of the cheap and cheerful casinos in old Vegas, where it's like 25 cents and dollar tables, etc., it can be a huge amount of fun. No, I've always enjoyed, like, I remember talking to Ken Early about this when he was out for the Conor McGregor fight. And his one observation about it was that every hotel in Vegas looks exactly the same. And it's not something I'd ever considered, particularly as all these hotels go to great lengths to create their own identity. So the Paris Hotel is meant to be like this 19th century Parisian thing. You've got the Cosmopolitan Hotel, so on and so forth. So every hotel has its own distinct identity. But ultimately, they're all about chasing the same thing, these giant, giant spaces that are designed to take money out of your pocket as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And so, I've enjoyed Vegas. I've always enjoyed it. But this time, maybe because I was there and it was, you know, there was still post-pandemic effect. There was masks, indoor spaces everywhere you went. I think it just, you get tired after a while if you're not, I'm just kind of rambling here really about Vegas, but like I've always found it remarkable that basically on a patch of desert where there was once upon a time a cattle station and that's it, that they designed and built, and the mafia built this extraordinary tribute to our appetites. That's what it is. It's a city dedicated to satisfying all of our appetites, you know, whatever they may be.
I'm surprised then that there's not more golf courses right along the strip. And I know, I was going to say space is at a premium, but it's not really, because you can go sort of every way and anyway off the strip in Vegas. That, again, it's such an easy way of taking money off rich people, which is what Vegas is all about, that all of these courses haven't squeezed in something. I guess they all have the greatest simulator in the world right now, where you can go and spend a couple of hours. I think you should go, Joe. I don't think you're too old for this at all.
No, you're not.
Vegas a few times, and every time I love it.
But
now again,
been,
3 or 4 days. I think I've been 3 times.
Yeah.
Once I definitely overdid it. I went for 5 days once, and 5 days was, I was like, whoa.
It's a day and a half too many.
And you're, Vegas is one of these, like anywhere when you're on holiday, but Vegas is one of these places you're just always spending money. Like,
yeah,
every minute of the day is more and more and more, and you want to experience everything, and every hotel has something kind of cool to go to. But you can do it. First time I went, I was like a student, and we stayed in, I think it was, is it the New Orleans? Is just off the strip?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's
with the big giant carousel wheel.
Grubby enough. Or the, but it was like 50 quid a night or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
You're happy. Yeah? You get to go experience it. And yeah, I just like the buzz, the walking down the strip. There's always something happening. It's just always a bit crazy. But I'm surprised there wasn't. I always assumed there was a lot of golf courses right in the center. I know around as you move out a little bit, Vegas is full of golf courses. But I would have thought, yeah, like the win. I wonder what they're charging, Fionn. What are they charging?
$500.
Around. Okay.
Yep. $500 around. And that includes, like, you know, they'll meet you at the entrance to the hotel. They'll take the bag off you. And then it'll be the next time you see your bag, it'll be spit polished clean, sitting on your golf cart at the first tee. You don't touch anything. And they escort you into the locker room where, you know, I mean, it's pure luxury, you know. This is the kind of stuff that you imagine Michael Jordan would be a regular visitor. And it is quite luxurious, but and the course itself is quite narrow, and it's, you know, it's obviously artificial. It's all brought in like fountains and rock formations and all the rest. But the thing is, I mean, to kind of go back to the earlier point about Vegas, part of Vegas's relief and charm is what surrounds Vegas. So like if you were to spend all your time just on the strip, I mean, you go slowly mad in a few days. But it's the idea that you can take a helicopter ride for $100 or $150 to the Grand Canyon. You can rent a car and just go out into the desert. And there's a whole bunch of golf courses in and around Vegas. And so it's about getting in and out of the city. That's, I think, that makes Vegas an attractive option for a lot of people, aside from the aforementioned, you know, Sin City charms.
We did a nice trip, Joe, for our honeymoon, which started up in San Francisco, drove all the way down the Pacific Coast Highway down to LA, and then drive across to Vegas, where you get that brilliant panoramic as you're driving in through the desert, and it just suddenly appears.
Vegas, baby.
I always think of that from Swingers, you know, that's where I think of that. That Vegas, exact trip that you mentioned, me and my wife were just talking recently, you know, starting out the pandemic, the world's opening up, life's too short, what do we want to do? That was the one I said to her, I really want to do. I must, I'll mind you.
It's a brilliantly first world holiday because we had, I remember a couple of years before we got married, we'd gone to Peru, we'd gone a couple of places where there was a lot of backpacking and all that. I was like, for our honeymoon, I just want, I want sky in every TV room I go to.
Yeah.
I want it as first world as possible here. No slowing it at all.
Yeah. $500 for a round of golf is pushing it now. What would you pay?
But you wouldn't play the win. Beach? You wouldn't play that course.
You play Pebble is similar, isn't it? About 425 for Pebble.
Okay.
No, I think Pebble is 505.
Is this?
Yeah.
Adair Manor, depending. Adair Manor, if you're playing.
Wayne's a high roller course.
Is up in that.
You can play Bears Best, which is Jack Nick. It's 18 holes of Jack Nicklaus's favorite desert course holes, all kind of a composite course, and you can play that for like, I don't know, $80. You know,
that's what I would expect in Vegas. I would expect if I went to Vegas that they go, oh, just around this corner at the back of the Bellagio is Augusta National, perfectly recreated.
Yes. I mean,
and over there is Pebble Beach.
Yeah. I think Pebble Beach, if I was there, God, 505 is painful. I think you would have to. It's that iconic, isn't it?
I didn't. Did you, Fionn?
No.
You play Pebble, have you?
We
because we drove down and we were in Monterey, and I'm going to, is it 17 mile drive or 19 mile drive? 17 mile drive. We were there and we stopped in Pebble Beach and walked around. It was the week after GMAC had won the US Open there, and there was an opportunity to play. It was up on $500, but I was like, I'm going to be going out with three really rich Americans using borrowed golf clubs. Mm. Like, is this, I don't know if I'm going to actually enjoy the full value if I were to play.
See, my logic would be, because anyone listening might be like, geez, Malloy, high roller, $500. It's actually the opposite. I'm so not a high roller. The odds of me even getting back to California a second time are slim-ish. I may never get back a second time. There are other parts of the world I'll want to see. There are only so many summers and so many holiday opportunities. My logic would be, I'm so not a high roller. I will never be back here again within touching distance. I got to do it.
My experience of Pebble, it's an amazing course and all the rest, but it's exactly what you said, Nathan. So you're put out. I mean, it's really, they're very friendly people at the course. I mean, really friendly. Everybody there is like very welcoming and very well organized, but you're put out in regimented 12-minute slots, four balls, and there are course marshals who are patrolling all of it to keep it moving along. And if you lose a ball or are looking for a ball, the marshal will go, okay, just drop another one and move on. It's not, it's a keep it all going kind of place, because it's such a popular, yeah, it's such a trophy destination for golfers from all over the world. So there's no kind of let's relax and just enjoy this nice round. Now, if you're hitting it well and you're hitting it straight, sure. But if you're not, it's not perhaps the, it's not the most relaxing experience.
Fair enough. I mean, St. Andrews top my list. It's disgraceful. I just haven't gone over there and queued up at 5 a.m. and taken my chances. That's the one. If anyone wants to join me, yeah, you're more than welcome. That's in the next year. Has to happen. So this is where we will say goodbye if you're not a subscriber. We do actually talk about golf on this podcast as well. Sorry, we've segued into travel chat there with Fiona, as happens from time to time, but we've some golf to talk about. So patreon.com/golfweekly is where you will find us. Come and join us. We are powering right through every week and more besides.